Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 394. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Where is this damn first Wyvarian? Where?
Jeff is here, too.
I'm drinking a Miller Lite, just for Tony.
Not hunting for Wyvarians?
No.
I'm drinking a double IPA in your face, Hefe.
So that's like three of my beers.
Yes. And Pete is here as well.
Hey.
Fozzie may join us. He said he would, but
who said knows? He was in.
Yeah, who knows? Let's talk some games. We haven't done that in a while. We took last me, week I'm off.
Play a game. Goodness.
What are games?
What are games? Yeah, it's kind of. I was starting to feel that way for a little bit because we were only playing Monster Hunter.
This is the only game.
Which right, I think, but I mean, last year, weren't we only playing Resident Evil in January?
Probably.
I mean, I guess by the time February rolled around, we were getting ready for Horizon, right?
You live a completely different life from the rest of us, Peter.
Right, but no, I'm thinking big titles that came out early 2017, and Zelda was obviously like a week later, but that before that, it was Resident Evil.
I don't know. I thought I played more early last year than I have now.
I don't think Resident Evil consumed my life the way Monster Hunter has.
Well, like, sure. I mean, it also doesn't just have the content to consume your life.
Yeah, so like I played Resident Evil, and I probably went back to stuff I had not finished from last year or whatever little things were coming out. I don't remember exactly. And like you said, then there was Horizon and Zelda right around the corner. We've had a little bit of a breather here, I think. I don't know. It's fine by me. I've put almost 100 hours in the Monster Hunter now, so it's perfect.
Yeah, well, I had Halo Wars 2, so that wasn't great. But
the game was, yes,
did have great. That.
It was ungreat.
I guess maybe it's just because we got Monster Hunter and it has kind of consumed everything, but I'm also not catching up on a bunch of stuff from last year, even though I have it, just not doing it.
Me too.
So it just seems like there hasn't been a whole lot. I know there has been, like Celeste is out there and I haven't played that yet, and but no, it feels weaker. It's not, it just feels like a slower start, I guess. But yeah, so we have been playing some stuff this past week though. Tony, you played some more Civ stuff.
Yes. I don't think I've talked about it yet either. Civ 6 Rise and Fall, the new expansion to Civ. It's the first big expansion. There have been a bunch of really little ones that I have not played. But this actually changes the gameplay a bit and tries to add to it. It adds culture conquering back to the game. So if your civilization has like really good culture, you can get cities to join you without having to actually go to war, and
that's cool.
Yeah, good, because like the warmonger penalty used to be a fucking bitch in that game.
Well, it's still horrible.
No, I know, but like at least now you have options.
Well, no, you don't, because what I found is I was trying to build really high culture. One person would declare war on me, and then as soon as that war was over, everyone would hate me until the end of time.
See, that's their AI nonsense again.
Yeah, I imagine if you're playing against actual players, it's a lot more interesting now. But if you're playing this as a single player game, like it's still that part of it does not improve things. In fact, the culture conquering makes it really annoying trying to conquer an enemy civilization. Because a lot of times you'll take like a small city on the fringe with your army, and then you'll have like it'll give you like three turns until that city revolts. Because the culture of the cities around it are so high. So whenever you take a city, your immediate response is to immediately go on and take the next closest city as quickly as you can so that that city doesn't get culture conquered instantly. Which is a little frustrating. I don't know though, if you're into conquering, I mean, it's fine.
So, right.
But other than that, they added a bunch of new civilizations to the game, and all the ones I've played so far have been really cool. I played through a full game as the Netherlands, which meant that I could like trade with everyone. So I made so much money trading, which was great. They have huge trade bonuses, and they can build like windmills on the water. It's like their special thing. And right now I'm in the middle of a campaign as Korea, and I'm in the process of destroying the United States.
As Korea. Doing God's work right now.
So it's fun. It's still really good. I mean, I liked Civ 6 as a core game, but the AI still has some issues. It's like, I mean, it feels a lot like the progression in Civ 5, where that game really didn't hit its stride until after its second expansion.
I was going to say, it usually takes two or three.
Which is annoying. It's incredibly frustrating. They release these games knowing that they're incomplete.
Yeah. At some point, like, for 5, what I wound up doing, like, I bought the game when it first came out, and then 4 years later, wound up buying the Humble Bundle version.
Yeah.
That had all the expansions for a quarter of the price that I paid when the game came out. Like, it's almost just worth, like, waiting. Like, kind of like how, like, you wait when a Bethesda game comes out. It's like, all right, let's give it a couple months to
right
let them, you know, make sure it doesn't crash and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but, you know, I kind of wish that I had a full game to begin with. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's fun, though.
Good. I played some Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Ooh.
Why?
Because I kickstarted it, like, 4 years ago. So they sent it to me. I mean, that's kind of how it works when it's like, hey, this sounds like a cool thing. So
is it, though? Is that, I mean, how many people actually get their games?
I mean, I'm still waiting on 2 that I kickstarted, but I have, all of the projects that I have funded have come eventually. Eventually. Well,
that's something.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I can't, I can only speak to myself, right? Like, but I've kickstarted like 5 or 6 now, and I'm waiting on 2. And one is going to be a long, long time because it was Unsung Story, which was the Final Fantasy Tactics kind of.
Right. Game. Didn't they just like go belly up?
Well, so that the people that did. The people that were doing it, they fucked up bad. They kind of like stopped doing it. Somebody bought the project though,
right? That's
what and it was. Okay. And they agreed, like they were like, hey, we're gonna make sure everybody that gave this project money is gonna get their game that they kickstarted, but we have to, you know, relook at this, change scope, because like things got way out of hand with whatever they were doing, and so that game is gonna take a while, but. I am at least now getting regular updates again for it.
Oh, that's something.
And then another one is like a small indie platformer that like one guy is making. So, yeah, I've gotten all my, I mean, I got Mutant League Football last year and early this year. And now Kingdom Come Deliverance is here. You guys like Skyrim?
Yeah. I like Skyrim.
Yep. You like The Witcher?
I like The Witcher.
No.
Fuck off, Jeff.
let's see what else. You do you like crazy janky games?
No, sometimes. Not really.
I mean, you like Skyrim.
If I can save anywhere.
I didn't say yes to that, though. Oh. I like The Witcher. There's a game.
All right, well, so it has a lot in common with The Witcher.
Does it?
It does. Actually, like, it has a lot of, like, a lot of mechanics that are similar. Combat is it's kind of like form based. Like it's not just like it's not Skyrim combat where it's just like wail at the guy in front of you. It's like an 8-point. Like you can hold your sword in different directions, and combat's really interesting. I suck at it and hate it, but it is interesting. Like there's a ton of things, like it takes place in what is meant to be a historical take on Eastern Europe, specifically like Bohemia and the the Czech Kingdom, I guess.
Check it out.
I don't know much about the history of that area, so. And it takes place at a very specific time in history.
Ooh, that's cool.
King Wenceslas.
Oh, interesting.
I guess when he was kind of taken prisoner by his brother or whatever, and shit going on there. I don't know. It's there are real people, real popes, real kings, like that are involved. You play a nobody, or at least that's what they lead you to believe. Only because I've seen the achievement list, so I like there's an achievement that says something about your parentage, and I assume that it goes a certain way. Yeah, I could be wrong. I also don't know. I could be wrong. But there's an achievement out there about your parentage. So it is open world like Skyrim, like first person perspective. The horse kind of controls like Roach does, and like you hold down the button and it.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that he just like appears on random forms of architecture.
Well, kind of.
You can just like it's janky. Remember?
Yeah, it is very janky. You
that
can whistle.
That was the one part of Witcher that was janky. I applaud them on everything else, but they kind of leaned into it in ways that I respect.
There was definitely some weird shit in The Witcher. But
I never encountered a whole lot of it, but I guess it was.
I remember I had a whole cutscene where like I was on one side of a door, and, like all you could see was my hands going through it.
Oh, jeez.
There's definitely. I mean that's not specific to The Witcher. Like shit happens like that in Grand Theft Auto and.
Oh yeah, that's open world jank.
Yeah, large open world games have that shit. And this is a large open world game. Has some weird things. There's a weird save system. Tony kind of alluded to. You can save by sleeping in a bed, although that wasn't working for much of the first week. It would only save for me when I stayed in a bed that I paid for. It's supposed to stay in any bed that is technically yours. So like they give you a bed that you can sleep in, like, hey, this is your house when you start. And I was sleeping there and it wasn't saving. And it would only save if I was in a tavern, leading me to believe that it would only save if you bought the room. That's not true. They fixed that now. But if you want to manually save, you need an item that is called Savior Schnapps. It is a consumable item that costs about between 80 and 100 gold. And I'm always struggling with gold, so it's not exactly an easy thing to come by. And also the fact that manual saves are consumable items is pretty stupid to me, but
yes,
I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Like the story is pretty cool. It's not, you're basically like this medieval investigator. Like I'm going out on behalf of the Lord that I am sworn to and kind of like doing investigations and, tracking down leads on things. And there's all these different skills that you can learn, like reading. Like if you can't read, so if you haven't learned to read yet, you'll come across things that are like scrawled on sides of buildings or in books, and you just can't understand them. It just looks like hieroglyphics to you. But if you get some training, then you can start to make out the words and you'll understand what they're saying. And it's not like you don't just go and pay to read. Like you have to, there's like a quest line. Like you pay like your teacher and then he makes you read a book and then you have to go and answer questions on that book. And then he goes and has you read another book, which is in Latin. I don't understand Latin, but I somehow passed that one. So it's like it's a lot like Yeah, it's weird. Like, there's just the more you do things, the better you get at doing things. Well, the more, like, kind of like Skyrim, like, the more you, or Oblivion, right? Like, the more you sneak around, like, the better you'll be at being sneaky. The more you fight, the better you are with your sword or your bow or your mace or whatever. So, it's a very interesting game. I did just learn some, like, troubling things about, like, the creative director, I guess, of the game.
Yep.
Which is disappointing, but you know, I didn't know about that when I started, but I put 24 hours into this game prior to that. but outside of that, like, you know, in a vacuum, like, I think the game is actually pretty cool. It's you know, it's a little janky, has some issues. Character models aren't great. Environments are beautiful, though. But
I just can't bring myself to get excited about a historical fantasy video game yet.
Any reason? Like,
I just don't care. Like, I don't know. Like when I look at this, I look at it and I go, man, if only it had like cool shit like The Witcher does.
Like what?
The monsters.
Where are the giant monsters?
There are no giant monsters.
There's no monsters. Like, I don't know how I don't know how well the writing is and stuff. But
I mean, there are definitely quest lines where I'm like, oh, that's some shitty stuff. Like, there was an awesome quest line though where I was following up a lead. I ended up so I found this guy who had been murdered. And the people that you talk to say that he had been seen in the church recently. So you go to the church, you talk to the priest there, and the priest kind of gives you information that, you know, he has that, yes, this guy recently came to talk to him. He gave a confession. And then, like, you try to pry that out of him, right? Like, but he, you know, I don't know how much you guys know about Catholic Church. Like, priests are not priests are not able to divulge, like, and especially, like, you're talking the, like, what, 1409 or something like that, like,
right, they basically had like confidentiality agreement, the one, like, that's what we call it now.
Like, I mean, it's like you don't but because, like, if people start like going, oh, hey, you know, Fred over here, he told me about this shit and I told you, and I'm the priest, and I gave him forgiveness for it. Well, now, like, everyone's angry at Fred because he's an asshole. So, like, they don't do that. But you end up talking to this guy, and there you end up going on like a drinking bender with him.
The priest?
Yeah, he's like, the priest is like this, like, kind of shitty dude, but also kind of awesome. Like, he's a shitty priest. Let's put it that way. But he's like a dude you want to hang out with. Like, you end up getting drunk and, like, going to his church and ringing the bell in the middle of the night with, like, these women that are hanging out with you. And then you end up sleeping with one of them. He ends up screwing one of them. Like, it's just this crazy bend. And everything is done in, like, this, like as you're blacking in and out of shit. Because, like, you were drinking. And when you wake up, you're like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, half naked in this priest room. And then he tells you, like, hey, I can't speak very well because I feel like shit.
So you have to go do the sermon for him?
You have to give the sermon.
Jeez.
and depending if, like, it gives you different options for, you know, what you can choose. It's not just like you go up there and, like, it's a cutscene. You're actually choosing what you're saying to these people, and they will react based on what you're choosing, which is really fun because, like, the first time, like, people are like, they're like really starting to, like, turn on me, and I'm like, oh shit. So, like, I started making some other choices, and they eventually came around and were like, yeah, our priest is awesome. Our priest is fantastic.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it was a really fun storyline, and, like, there's these cool, like, little storylines going on throughout the whole thing. I don't know, like, if I would say the writing is amazing, but the sequences that they're put in are fun, and I'm enjoying seeing where it's going next. So I think it's a $60 game. And I don't recommend buying it at $60.
How much do you pay for it?
25.
That sounds more appropriate. Like a
good price, yeah.
Yeah. If you can get it like in a couple months at $25, I think it's probably worth playing. If you like the setting, if you like a Skyrim type game, a Witcher type game where the world is very vibrant and there's a lot going on. You could talk to everybody. There's a very interesting economy going on in the system. There is very much a class system where like you can't just barge into like your lord's room. Like you will be like people will look at you funny and will reprimand you for doing things, and you definitely have to play within your class. So and people will relate to you depending upon how like you can build up relationships with the different cities, like your reputation. There's tons of different mechanics and throughout the whole thing. So it's an interesting game that does some really cool things. I would maybe wait on it a bit, but I think if you're into that, like you, it's definitely worth playing. And Sean's really enjoying it. So
Two Worlds 2, baby.
Very much so.
The Two Worlds game he always wanted.
Oh no, I think Two Worlds 2 was the Two Worlds game he always wanted. So
he's already gotten it. He's good to go.
Yeah. I also played The Station.
What's that?
You know what Tacoma is? You guys play Tacoma?
No, but I know what it is.
Yeah, the Fulbright game takes place on a space station. Very similar. It is a game Jeff probably will not like because it is what I guess they call a walking simulator. I hate that term, but
I mean, I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily going to hate it just because it's that genre. I am a little sick of that genre though.
Yeah. This game's about an hour long, 15 minutes, so it's really, really short. It takes place on a space station. You're walking around, trying to figure out what happened there because you've been sent there to kind of investigate a mishap. Very similar to Tacoma, in fact. What makes it a little bit different is like there's actual puzzles involved and progressing in some ways, which is different from a lot of these walking simulators. Like, a lot of them, like you don't have, there's, it's just like you kind of go from point to point, right? Like, and you get the story as it, like that's, it's just like kind of a visual novel that you walk through. This does have some, there's like three or four different puzzles. They're not long. They don't, they're not too taxing, but it does make it a little more involved than some of them. But the game is super short. And then it just abruptly ends. It has a really cool ending. That I liked, but it does just when it starts to get interesting, it's like, yeah, this is now we're making it somewhere. All of a sudden it just like turns and game over. So that was kind of crappy, but
that's annoying.
And that's otherwise we've been playing Monster Hunter. Pete,
Jeff, talk about Monster Hunter.
Monster's the best. There you go.
Pete, what's the best? You've been playing anything?
Yeah, I've been playing a bunch of shit. So my friends, my coworkers got me into Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay.
Which I may classify as the most average of first person shooters. Like if you combined Counter-Strike Go with Overwatch, but everybody only had like one ability. I'm not really sure how to properly describe it, but it's okay. It's a team-based game. It's 5v5. You have like Counter-Strike modes, save the hostage, you know, defuse the bomb, blah, 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 blah. I play it because my friends play it. Like, I would never play it outside of that.
I had heard that it has improved immensely since it originally came out. I don't have much interest in it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know what it was like beforehand. I mean, it's a fine game. Like, it plays fine, but, like, it's the kind of thing that I just wouldn't play by myself.
Okay. Have you played any of the, I heard they added some new modes, or is that DLC?
Yeah, that's all, like, stuff I have to pay for. And
okay.
I'm not. I put a little bit of money in just to get myself some characters, because the their payment models are fucked beyond reason, but
yeah,
the base edition only gets you, like, or they, not the base edition, the
is there a free edition to it, or?
Based because I paid $15 for the starter edition, and that only gets you four characters, four, like, base, like, year one characters that are fine and playable, but, you know, they're not the cool ones.
And, it, like, can you earn other ones by playing?
You can. Now, the fucked thing is that if you have the starter edition, the free-to-play currency needed to buy operators, their other name for heroes, is, like, 2.5 times more than it is if you paid for the $40 version.
Oh, really?
So
basically, they, like, if you buy, like, the free-to-play but not really free-to-play version, you're in, like, you're in a deficit.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they have a bunch of DLC and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, that stuff is what it is. But yeah, I mean, like, it's an okay game. Excuse me. I'm very tired. It's been a very long day. I played Celeste.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what Tony said. What'd you say, Tony?
I said we're wearing you out.
Yes.
We're just so exhausting.
You have no idea.
Jeff would like to know what you think of Celeste, though.
I liked it. I think it's
you like you beat it?
Fucking balls. I beat it because I quote unquote cheated like a motherfucker.
Okay. Oh yeah, because I have not tried. There's like an easy mode or something.
It's yeah. It's that. It's like their what do they call it? Assist mode.
What does that give you?
It gives you. Let's see the ability. What is it? There's several. There are several options. So you can give yourself one extra dash. So you have two instead of the one.
That's
you
can, huge.
You can give yourself an unlimited amount of dashes. So you can just fucking zip around the map like nobody's business. Or you can, let's see what else. You can prevent yourself from dying. If you either phase through things that would kill you, or you can, like, use them as platforms. You can infinite stamina.
Oh, I already have that.
Like, you can basically, like, make the game as if there were no difficulty whatsoever, which is basically where I reached because the amount of effort I decided to put into it.
See, like,
by that point, just
I'm kind of happy I forgot about that while I was playing it, because, like, if I had, like, if it's a slippery slope with that shit with me, but, like, if I slip into that, I'm just gonna cheat all the way through the game, I think, at some point.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that's not what the game is. Like, the game is, like, getting really good at this little 2-second level or 20-second level, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I think, like, for the first four, like, I didn't wind up turning it on. How far did you get into the game?
I think I'm the third area now, like the third level or whatever. I forgot what they call them. Third chapter, I think it is.
Okay.
So I don't know how many chapters are there?
Eight with an additional, no, there's seven with an additional, like, post game chapter that isn't, like, exactly a, what do you call it? Like, words are difficult. It's not like a story thing. It's like, hey, do you want the dark levels from, like, Super Mario Odyssey? Like, that's what this is. It's like, how much do you hate yourself right now? Yeah, and in order to get into that, you need to get like the hearts, which are like the extra, like the super hard collectibles and stuff that are like, so you can get some of them at the end of B-sides.
So like not or, the strawberries?
No, the strawberries are meaningless.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that's what they say that somewhere. They're like, this is if you want to look cool.
Yeah.
And they don't want to look cool. I don't care.
And stuff. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. The first four, I got all the way up until the wind section. About halfway through the wind section, I was just like, you know, just like, fuck this game.
I really detested where the shadows follow you around. So it's like, I think in the second level, like these shadows will like chase you through a level. And so if you mess up or anything, they're going to catch up with you and you're dead as soon as they touch you. So like, not only are you doing like this really hard platforming, you're being chased as you do it. Like,
the clones and stuff.
Yeah. Yes. I hate that. Yeah. I hate any, like, I like a platforming challenge, I guess, but I don't like being chased as I do it. Like, that shit in fucking
Ori
drove me nuts. Like, I don't like, you could do that, but don't make that super fucking hard. Like, have that, like, break up
the hard. That I was actually okay with because I kind of understood the pattern. Like, it followed you, which meant what you did.
Yeah, even still, but if you make a misstep, you're fucked. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
I hear you. But for me, it was like it suddenly got to, you know, it became less of a platforming challenge or platforming puzzle and more of like timing
based. Yeah, but the game is very,
I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I thought the other ones were really cool because it was like, okay, do A, B, and C, and then you get there. And then it's like, okay, now do A through Z, but you have to make sure that you make these super millisecond jumps. And if you slow down at all, you've missed the cycle and all that. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not trying to play Meat Boy. Like,
I've mentioned this before, though. Like, I liked it more than Meat Boy because I like the looks and music of it. Like, especially the music is awesome, I think.
Yeah, no, the music is phenomenal. Like, Lena Raine is an amazing composer, and props to her for all that stuff.
I think the moveset and shit, too, is, like, way more interesting than Meat Boy. Meat Boy is just, like, straight, here's platforming, and we're going to make it really hard. And here it's like, right. No, there's a dash. It's built around dashing and climbing, and all the levels are designed around that, and they get more and more complex, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you there, but like, I think especially like when you get to some of like the later levels in the game, like I just looked at it and I was like, I never would have been able to beat any of this stuff. Like,
ever. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard, but I think the game is just like cool enough to, I'd say, warrant a purchase to like platformer fans, even if you're not.
Oh, 100%. Like, the game is awesome. Like, it's only $15.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I had a lot of fun with, and I think the story is really good. You know, it's sort of like a commentary on mental illness and stuff like that. And excuse me. And I think it tells the story really. It's actually really funny. The only problem I might say I have with it is that I don't like that the portraits have an inconsistent art style with the rest of the game. It's like, here's this super pixelated game, and then these like weird RPG Maker looking portraits. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's a really good game so far. It's probably, you know, everyone's been giving it tens and stuff, and I would say that it's warranted. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I wouldn't give it a 10, but I'd say fucking, like, Chris, I know you don't like crazy hard platformers, but, like, I think, like I said, it's just cool enough to...
Well, and even if it is like, crazy hard...
Yeah, you'll have fun with it. Like, pick away at it and shit.
Like, well, even if it is crazy hard, like, just turn on the assist options and...
You can see like, everything, at least. Right. Yeah.
No, I think I am gonna do it, you know, but between what Pete and Javi have said about it, I think I want to see it. I am not gonna try and do what Billy has been doing with it. I think
he's 100%
it. Yeah, like I know, no way. Like
did he put up that video? What was it on the Facebook group of him doing like the Golden Strawberry Challenge? And I was like, holy shit!
Like I mean, it's that's just, super impressive, but I have no desire to do that.
I am like blown away if I'm able to get through a level. Like honestly, so
yeah. No, I agree with you.
I've posted videos of me just beating a level where I'm like, check this shit out.
And then lastly, I'm playing this game in early access called Slay the Spire, which is a roguelike game with deck building elements. So, you know, think like Hearthstone, but or think Hearthstone's Dungeon Run mode, basically, which was a roguelike for Hearthstone at the time. Excuse me, my thoughts are not promising. It's really fun. It's in early access so far. I don't know when they plan on releasing it, but I'm playing it right now. It's like it's super simple. It's not very complicated. It's hard, you know, because roguelikes are hard. They're designed to like be random and fuck you up and all that stuff. You know, but if you like roguelikes, I think this is a good one. You know, if you like Binding of Isaac or FTL or I'm trying to think of other roguelikes, Nuclear Throne, Spelunky, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's one of those.
I'll play roguelikes. I'm excited for the new game from the developers of FTL.
Yeah, buddy, Into the Breach.
I want that badly.
Give that shit to me.
Which comes out next week, I think.
It's Friday. It's putting on Friday, the 27th, so next Tuesday. Yeah, that game looks awesome. And they do good shit, so.
They do.
So, Fozzie.
Hi.
What have you been playing?
Celeste.
We already talked about that, Fozzie. I know. We already talked about that.
Damn it, Fozzie.
Huh?
What was that, Jeff?
I just asked if you had been playing.
Yeah, playing it right now. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it. I didn't want to chime in, but everything that was said, I agree with. And nice. Also, I beat my first Zelda game.
Yeah?
Link to the Past? Nope, sure didn't play that one. I played a little bit of that, and I was like, oh.
So you didn't play the good one?
No, old Zelda's bad, people.
No, they're not.
I don't get it. Oh, yeah.
New Zelda's bad.
Ooh, on contraire. It's good. It's a good game. I finished with the Master Sword and the Hyrule Shield, so I'm pretty happy with myself.
You beat the least Zelda game.
Hell yeah. Okay. This is how Zelda is meant to be played.
So are you going to keep playing it, Fozzie, or are you...
I'm going to buy it on Switch. I'm retiring the Wii U, and then I'm going to get the DLC, all that good stuff.
Just going to do that thing, like Vikings burial, and just light it on fire.
I'm give it a fucking Office Space burial. And
that's actually more appropriate.
I was like thinking about it. I was like, honestly, it's amazing because like the Wii did have like the shtick. Like there was like some fun things about it, but like the Wii U had good first party games, but I mean. That was it. Like, I can't think of one third-party game that I played on there.
Yeah. I think the only good third-party game that I remember was that Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem crossover game that was, like, a Persona-like.
I played some third-party games I liked on there, but they were not, like, exclusives. They were, like, you know, Need for Speed and shit.
Wait, why would you actively choose to play a third-party game on the Wii U? That was available on
the it's cheap or something. I don't know. I don't remember why. I played Splinter Cell on there too, like the last Splinter Cell game, I think.
Blacklist was on the Wii U?
Yeah. What? And it was fucking awesome. Like that game was really cool. And I remember too when I beat it, I checked out the multiplayer and there was like exactly two guys playing.
Awesome. Man, it was like one guy and his friend basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. That was pretty much Wii U and its legacy. you know, pretty okay.
The public wasn't ready, man. They weren't ready.
Well, and like everyone says, the
official price setup wasn't.
It wasn't the public's fault that they all thought that it was a accessory for the Wii.
It just felt low quality. So.
Well, did it at the time though?
It, I don't know. It was time at the time when it launched. People were calling it a Fisher Price toy.
Yeah, it also looked real bad. Like as a
and the fact that like you couldn't really go anywhere with it. Like, I mean, the range on that thing was shit.
You couldn't even go to your bedroom.
Right. Like, it was garbage. Like, yeah. I like the Wii U. I like a lot of the games that were on the Wii U. But it was not... It wasn't even that we weren't ready for it. Nintendo wasn't ready for it. Like, it was unrefined technology.
I agree with you. But I do also think that it's funny that, like, that thing was such a failure, and now Switch is such a success. And it's like, yeah, the Switch is obviously better, and it like realizes their idea from that. But it's like, wasn't the Wii U was not bad or anything. Like, I actually always liked the gamepad controller. Like, I had a pro controller, and I always used the gamepad.
Are you high?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time I was, but yeah.
I think it works fine. Like, I do think the pro controller is better, but I mean it was a fine, like it was a fine working controller. I think the screen on that thing wasn't great, but
I mean
in terms of playing the games, like it's fine.
Lots of it has not aged well, I don't think, but like at the time we were just blown away that it could even do what it did. Like, you know, like I remember first time I played it and I was like, wow, I can't believe like you could fucking play on either screen. Or fucking, like, the games, like, could use two screens.
But they did that already. Like, that was the DS. It was a DS with a console.
No, it wasn't the same thing.
It was basically the same thing.
Well, I mean, like, Jeff's first point was that, it like, you know, you could play on the TV or on, like, the DS didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And that was, I remember at the time, was all being like, oh, that's pretty cool, like. But yeah, the Switch is just like that idea done 100% right.
Like, yeah, they took that kernel of an idea that they had for the Wii U and let it incubate, like, and actually come up with something that, you know, a nice piece of design
and basically a handheld system that you can play on your TV. You know what I mean? Instead of kind of the other way around, where it's tethered to this home console.
Which I do think that people have to get that in their head, though, because that's exactly what it is, right? It is a handheld console that you can play on your TV.
Well, the funny thing is I say that, and I use it as a console. Like, I barely ever take it off the dock.
But in regards...
That's what it is.
In regards to what, like, other consoles, like, it is not as powerful as the PS4 and the Xbox One. Like, and these people that are like, oh, well, why isn't Monster Hunter World on it? Like, Monster Hunter World would not run on this thing. Like, one, it would eat up your entire fucking SD card memory slot that you have. Like,
yeah.
Like, I do like that they're, you know, porting a lot of, and that it's become like the home for indie games too, but
yep.
Like, you're never going to get like the latest big name games on, like, Far Cry 5 is not going to play on that thing, like, and people begging for it are insane.
Yeah, I have no. I am happy with them putting different weird shit on it. Like, that's what I would prefer to do. Like, but I would like to see some of the bigger developers be doing this, and more so, like, indies and stuff are great, but let's see some other like neat shit too. Hopefully.
I'm not opposed to them like designing for the Switch and then like to maximize their profit, put it on the Xbox One and PS4. Like, do that. Like, I think that would be cool. But I don't see like EA or Activision being like, we're gonna make a game specifically for this system.
Right. And that's what happens when you underpower your console. Like,
right. Like, it's just not, it's not financially feasible
for the Switch.
Yeah,
for Activision to be like, we're gonna make a game only for the Switch. Like we're gonna make it right. Like I can.
No such thing as exclusives anymore. That pretty much.
But I mean that's
because most of the consoles are comparable hardware wise. But when you have a console that can't run your game.
Yeah. Like so.
Yeah. I bought NBA 2K18. That was a mistake. Okay. But that being said,
it did play it.
It did, and I was, you know, bummed that it was kind of a downgrade when, you know, for the most part, I don't leave the house. Sorry, the Switch does not leave my house, but doesn't necessarily mean that I played on the dock. Actually, more so, I play just like handheld while my girlfriend's like watching TV. Yeah. But I think that there's still, you know, there's still a market, I guess, like for the suckers like me. But maybe, yeah, I guess like those type of games.
Well, the suckers like you get old versions of FIFA and.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, EA.
It should come at a discount, though. I feel like,
yes.
Like it shouldn't be charged 2K18 should be $49.99, you know? $10 less, you're getting, I mean, for the most part, you're getting a very similar game, but there's definitely, you know, some things that aren't.
It's not feature rich, yeah. Right? It doesn't have as many features to it. And
But again, you have to think of it as, like, this is a handheld thing. The console is this thing, it's pretty incredible when you think about it. So,
when I say that I think people need to get it in their head that it's a handheld first, as opposed to those other consoles. It's not right. That's not a slight against it. I'm not like kicking it. Like,
no.
I just think like these people that are like that whine about like Monster Hunter World or Far Cry 5 or like Red Dead's going to come out later this year, and they're going to be like, why isn't the system literally isn't powerful enough to run it, and if they put it on there, like I think Bethesda did some amazing shit, like being able to get Doom running on it, right? And like that's
the wonderful thing is that it does get me excited for like when they hopefully release like a Switch 2, and then like sure. You are able because again like. Every new generation of consoles, it's just there's less and less of a gap, you know? Now it's all about, you know, really just the minute thing. So
I mean, I agree with you with most of them, but Nintendo, I think, purposely puts older hardware in their system because they want to sell at a lower price point. So, like, I wouldn't necessarily think that a Switch 2 will be able to run old games, but it's not going to be like
PS5.
But I'm saying like 5 years from now when like first off, you know, memory cards can be, you know, a couple terabytes and they'll be cheap. And then, you know, the graphics, they'll be able to make them into
It's also what type of graphics are they going to like? Because remember, like the Switch runs on like a mobile chip.
Right.
Like, it's not like the, you know, the Xbox and the PS4 are running on. They're basically like
PCs.
Like,
yeah,
they're running on x86 architecture. You know, the Switch is running on some like weird homebrew that Nintendo built up. Yeah.
Well, I also wonder. You know, there's a thing where you can take a laptop, which is like a work laptop. And you connect it to a like a docking station that you can put like a GTX like 1080 or something in to make it run those like 1080, you know, like graphically. Right. So I wonder if they eventually will come out with like dock only games to maybe compete with it. It's like
that seems
okay.
So hypothetical to what that system's about that they would never do that.
Well,
because then it's
Nintendo.
Not a, then it's
you
not
never
a play
know
anywhere.
How they're going to be doing. Because I get that, but I'm just saying that, like, right? It might not be. It's probably nothing like that would happen. But because a lot of times you're right. I mean, if I want to play Monster Hunter, I'd be like, damn, I wish I could play this portable. Like every game is better portable, but it's a matter of, you know, what sacrifices are going to be there, and then also. Can they even do it? Or again, like you said, if it's 30 gigabytes, that's your whole fucking hardware, unless you got your own little SD card. So, you know, realistically, I understand like what the Switch is, and it's Nintendo games plus mid to like indie title games, and I'm cool with that because there's a lot, and it's a lot of good stuff too. But yeah, there is definitely a part of me that's like, dude, I don't want to play Red Dead on my TV. I want to play it on this fucking portable thing. It's great. Fantastic. Although, yes, it's nice to be able to play on the big screen. But, you know, I'm saying that the portability factor, it just makes everything better.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I love it too.
I mean, I like my Switch. I do.
I still don't have one.
It's
because I'm poor.
Well, I'm sure they'll come out with a nice bundle for it soon. Oh, like a summer.
I'm surprised. Dude, you need to start packing the fucking Pro Controller in, honestly. But whatever.
So it costs $400 instead of $300 that thing? $90 whatever, or something, dude. Stupid?
$70, I think. I think it's $70.
Jesus. I'm just saying that thing is a must.
Expensive. I agree. I think if you're gonna get a Switch, you should get a Pro Controller with it.
Yes.
And that is the funny thing, is like, yeah, it's $249 or whatever, but then you have to tack on the Pro Controller.
And a fucking SD card.
Yeah, and an SD card, which mine is 200 gigs, and I think I paid like, I don't know, $60 for or something. So it adds up.
Yeah. But
in return, I have, again, like something that I can play in the bedroom or on the couch, and I don't have to worry about my memory or having to find, like, I haven't bought one game for it physically. Everything's been digital.
almost all of my stuff, except for like the little indie games, has been physical.
It actually reminded me, it's like, I'm actually depressed that the Nintendo Labo, which I want to get, is going to make me have to get a physical disc.
Buy cardboard then.
No, I want cardboard. I'm going to pay
you
for
it. You got
to
get
cardboard.
That cardboard. You got to get it.
I need
that $70 cardboard, man.
I can't wait.
It's really nice cardboard, though.
That's right. It's super great cardboard.
Fucking better be.
You know, like it's Wagyu like beef? Cardboard. It's like Wagyu cardboard, okay? You're getting just better quality.
So everything, like all your stuff, Fozzy, has been digital for
everything. And I have Mario on this. Mario NBA 2K.
You get the digital cardboard.
Yeah, it's true.
I've been buying physical because, like, if you get it at launch or if you have the Gamers Club thing at Best Buy, like, you get the discount on it. So,
which I get, and I don't hate on that. I don't know. The one thing I do love about Nintendo too is, like, normally when, unless you have like Prime or like that Gamers Club unlocked, you get really boned because like physical copies of stuff dramatically drop in price after like 2 months. It's like, shit, I could buy that for $15. And then it's always $59.99 digitally. But Nintendo is like notorious for keeping its prices like even years after sometimes it's even more expensive. Like Nintendo Land, I think, was like more than $60 when it was so it's like, yeah, it actually makes sense to go digital because it's actually cheaper at times. So, it's good stuff.
All right. Anybody else play anything?
That's about? It for me for now.
I played Owlboy on the Switch.
Yeah.
Ooh. Has anyone played that?
No.
I know of Owlboy.
I know of it as well.
Yeah, it's like a 2D Metroid-like game, and you can fly. That's basically it. You can fly, and you have, like, at least so far, one sidekick character that you kind of escort through the whole game that, like, shoots for you. So you kind of like, use the right stick to shoot with him. That's basically it. I'm not, like, really far in it, so I can't say, like,
how
amazing or not. Yeah. But, like, I mean, I like Metroid type games, so I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But like, so far, I'm not like blown away by any one aspect of it. Like I don't really love the music or the art in it.
That game took 10 years to make.
Yeah, I heard like it was one guy also?
It was like two guys.
Yeah, I think. It took a really long time to make, and you know, I'm not trying to take away from anything. I just so far I'm like it's fine, but I'm not like there's not like one thing I can point to that I'm like oh that's so cool. Like being able to fly in it is kind of whatever. Who cares? Like I don't know. So is good so far, but. It's also $25, so even at that point, I'm like, it's kind of expensive for the type of game it is. Should be like $5 cheaper, probably. But...
Okay.
I don't know. I'll let you know when I get to it. I'm still like mostly playing Monster Hunter. I'm kind of getting into the home stretch of that right now. So
you getting bored of it?
I'm gonna beat it.
Wait.
You want to come kill
Dio? You want to beat it?
Oh, I'm going to beat it.
About me? That's rude.
Steph, kill Diablo.
I think I'm going to beat it. I don't know.
Help me out.
Are you at Diablos now?
I'm at Diablos and the other one.
Are you? Oh, Hefe, we should help him.
I can fucking wipe the floor with him.
Well, then
Diablos? I don't know. You seemed pretty confident last time. You barely got that.
That sounds like Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it always goes, no matter what. But
Is after Diablos, is that when the monsters beef up?
Yeah, it starts going high rank. Right? Yeah.
So that's like the halfway point? Or
I'd say it's further than halfway, maybe. I don't know. I'm not done with it yet, but like
it's a weird way how it's structured. Like I do not know what the end monster is. I guess the Narragante or whatever is.
I beat him already. It's not. I thought it was.
Right. So
I saw like Sean talking about the Nera whatever the guy whatever he's called, and I got to him and it felt like it was the end of the game, but now they're like it's just like nope, you're on to the next thing now. Like so, I'm not done with it yet. I'm guessing there's like one or two more at most, and then I'll be done with the game. So I'll be done with it by next week, I'm sure.
And then you can help pull me through. So
I mean, I got nothing big until Sea of Thieves, so I will gladly help whoever beat whatever.
Yeah,
will not help me. I won't take it.
Don just got it too, so.
It's really fun. Like, I still, no matter how repetitive, like there's things that like really bug me. Like I don't like when they do these expedition quests where you have to like fill up a meter. I think that's like just such obvious padding. Where it's just like, yeah, keep doing random quests in this area until we decide you could fight the next monster. Nah, fuck that shit. But just the combat's so fun that whatever. Plus, I like getting new cool shit, you know?
I don't know. I just did my first arena, like, thing. It annoys me that I can't use my own equipment in the arena.
What are you talking about?
When you go into the arena, they make you choose, like, an outfit.
Do they really?
Yeah. And I was like, I have not used any of these weapons. I have no idea what to do with any of these. So I'm, like, in there fighting... I can't even remember what I was fighting. The stupid poison-spitting bird thing.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
And I'm like using a weapon I've never used before, and I'm trying to kill it. Annoying.
I don't think I did that. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember them stripping away anything I had ever.
Yeah, the only good thing about it was so I was using this equipment that wasn't mine, but all the items I was carrying weren't mine either. So I was like using a stock that I immediately got back as soon as the. Thing, the quest was over.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't. Has anybody played Shadow of the Colossus, the remake?
No,
not yet.
No,
I want to.
I never
played
the original, so maybe I should make myself play.
Ooh, yes.
It looks beautiful. Like I.
Yeah, it does look pretty.
Seen tons of great screenshots. So
yeah, that photo mode was like a really ingenious idea.
Yeah, I haven't played that yet. Is it anything coming out soon besides the Sea of Thieves?
Or like anything? Well, that's a ways off still.
What, marked, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's like little indie
games. The new expansion to Stellaris came out today. I'm excited to play
that. Nice.
Yeah.
Pac-Man Championship
Apocalypse. Edition. You can build planet killers now. I want to build a spaceship that can blow up a planet.
So, no, nobody playing Metal Gear Survive?
Is that out?
Yeah.
It's out, yes.
Oh. And I've been watching just Jeff Gertzman play through Twitter, and it sounds like an amazing experience. And by that, I mean he seems to have gotten kicked off the server several times and lost progress and all sorts of fun stuff.
Sounds awesome. Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus is out now on Nintendo Switch. There's a Fear Effect game coming out March 6th.
Oh.
If you remember Fear Effect from the PlayStation, the original PlayStation.
No.
I do not.
Fear Effect, there were two of them. There was Fear Effect and Fear Effect 2. They were kind of like they were like the, you know, they were tank control games, but with two sexy spies. I'm sure.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm sure you guys have to remember the commercials, right? Like,
I do.
Sounds
now.
Like something I
do
probably
now.
Actually
I do now.
Too young.
Probably.
No, I remember it.
Yeah,
it was on the PlayStation 2.
No, PlayStation 1
or PS1.
Yeah, it was Fear Effect and Fear Effect 2 were on PS1. Yeah, they.
What's they, happening?
There's a new Fear Effect game coming on March 6th to Windows, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
Interesting.
Square licensed the game because Square owns the rights to Fear Effect because Eidos originally made that game. But they licensed it out to some developer and publisher. And it was funded by Kickstarter, so that's another Kickstarter game coming out.
Yay.
Yeah. That's not a whole lot up until Sea of Thieves. Not seeing a whole lot there.
I'm sure there'll be some little games that pop
Kirby.
Up.
Kirby?
Yeah,
Kirby. Are we all getting that, Sea of Thieves? Is that happening?
I'm getting it for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the Game Pass.
Oh yeah, that's right. So I am getting it for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna sign up for Game Pass and get Sea of Thieves.
How much is the Game Pass again? A year?
$10 a month.
Can I get a year pass?
No, it's just a monthly subscription like Netflix. I think
there is a 6 month subscription. Pass.
Is there?
I thought I saw a $60 option.
But then either way, it's still like the
still the same price. It's not any cheaper than getting it. I think I'm just going to sign up for it and then.
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
If we're like, we're not playing Sea of Thieves anymore, then I'll cancel it until Crackdown comes out. Never.
Yeah, that's the other thing about it. Like, I haven't even thought of is like, I don't have to keep it active because of that. So.
Right.
I probably shouldn't have it active right now because I'm.
But if you're not using it, yeah, there's like that's why I didn't.
The problem too is that like I have so many games. I have so many games. I have like 300 games. So it's like I could get this, and I know exactly what's going to happen is that I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it for Sea of Thieves. I don't play Sea of Thieves anymore. I'm going to forget that I even pay for this service, and I'm going to be like, oh, it's just $9 or whatever.
Yep, it'll be exactly like you know, if you ever used GameFly or Netflix disc subscription, where a disc would sit on your shelf for 3 weeks.
Yeah, but that's happening right now. Like, are you going to buy like two Microsoft games? I'll probably buy Sea of Thieves, but am I really that excited about Crackdown? I don't know. Maybe
is Crackdown actually ever going to come out?
Right,
it'll come out.
So,
will it be good? That's a completely different question, but I think it'll come out.
but I'm actually really hopeful that this is successful because I really want to get to a point where it's like I'll pay $40 a month and have like it's like a la carte, right? Like, do you want like BioWare games? It's $9.99 a month. Do you want, you know, EA games? It's $14.99 a month. So I wonder if there'll ever be a subscription like that, because that'd be cool.
We might be getting there.
I think
is that you get most of the games for free, no matter what. Like, so if you have whatever the subscription is, the Xbox subscription, you get like basically everything that comes out. I don't know how they would ever do that, but.
But it's smart because it's like, you know, first off, Microsoft really doesn't put out that many games as much as they used to. So for them, it's kind of it's a good move here. But I would love to see, like, you know, have like all my Mass Effect and BioWare games and maybe like Jade Empire and stuff. Like, hey, you can have all these. Just pay us like $9.99 a month. I'd be like, all right.
You can if you
pay
them $4.99 a month or just $25 a month and get EA access, you can have all your Mass Effects and your Jade Empire and all of that. I think it's all available.
Is it?
I think
I have EA access too.
Mass Effect is definitely, all three Mass Effects are definitely in the vault.
Okay,
this is kind of like hypothetical. I'm not exactly saying that.
No, but this brings me back to the point I was going to make. This is what I've done with Xbox Game Pass so far. I looked through the library. I was like, oh, there's some cool shit in there, and there's some shit I want to check out. I downloaded a bunch of shit, and I've played nothing.
That's how they get you, Jeff. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Should have waited until Sea of Thieves came out and then done it.
Well, the thing is, and I'm sure I noticed this when I signed up, but I was just like, well, whatever. I had the price already justified in my head. It's like,
right.
I was just like, all right, I'll sign up, and then if you know, two good games or new Microsoft games a year, it pays for itself. So I was just like, I'll just sign up. But right. What I need to do is just not, like, cancel it when I'm not using it.
Yeah, like, if you're like, oh, we stopped playing Sea of Thieves, cancel it in May or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, if Crackdown comes out in July, you can pick it back up and cancel it in August. And then when Halo comes out in October, pick it up again.
But gamers are also in November. Pretty lazy.
And then that way you're even better off, like, when it comes to Microsoft's first-party games. I mean, you don't ever actually own any of the first-party games, but...
Right, that's what you give up with these subscription models, right?
But you could always 2 years down the road buy the disc for $8 or whatever the fuck, or just who knows, buy it at the sale or whatever.
Like, right, like who's to say that in 2 years from now you're like, nah, you know, I really want that Sea of Thieves game, and like you don't walk into a GameStop or you know a Walmart or. Or at that point, I guess Amazon probably owns us all. So yes. You just ask Amazon to send you a copy of Sea of Thieves that is now only $20, and you have your disc copy if you want it. Or, yeah. You know, Microsoft does have sales.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and they're generally pretty good, and they have a sale every week, but they have good sales two or three times a year that are getting, they're not Steam level good, but they're getting up there. Like they have some pretty steep discounts on those sales that are a couple times a year, just like Sony does and then Steam does. So, all right, we were gonna talk about a Kotaku story, but it's getting late, and I think we're all a little drained from the goings-on of stupid people in politics.
Yes.
So.
Moron. Kill them all. Wait, what?
Whoa. Hey, yeah. Please.
Yeah, man. Please. Please.
And now the show has just been put on a watch list. And
hey, man, if the FBI listens to our podcast, man, they got good taste.
Absolutely.
They do?
Yes, Napo. Absolutely.
I mean, yes, they do. Of course.
All right. We'll be back next week.
Probably. Oh, wait, nobody wants to talk about Burnout Paradise Remaster?
We can.
You just touched a nerve.
No, I want to go to bed. That's what I want to do.
We'll talk about that next week with news. Also, Burnout will be out very, very soon. So.
We'll talk about it.
Talk about it.
Yeah, we'll have impressions then.
All right. We'll be back next week with some news, and maybe we'll talk some Burnout and stupid people. So, say goodnight, Fozzie.
Plenty of them to talk about.
Burnout 3 was better.